The Old Testament reading for the commemoration of the purification of Mary and the presentation of our Lord comes from the first book of Samuel, the first verse, the first chapter. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up, for she said to her husband, "As soon as the child is weaned, I will bring him, so that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever." Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word." So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a 3-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, and a skin of wine. And she brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh. And the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, "O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who is standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he lives, he is lent to the Lord." And he worshiped the Lord there. This is the word of the Lord. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised.
In the city of our God, his holy mountain.
As we have heard, so have we seen.
In the city of the Lord of hosts.
We have thought on your steadfast love, O God.
In the
midst of your temple. The epistle reading comes from the letter to the Hebrews, the second chapter. Since, therefore, the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. For surely it is not the angels that he helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Therefore he had to be made like his brothers in every respect, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For because he himself has suffered when tempted, he is able to help those who are being tempted. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Holy Gospel, which serves as the text for our sermon this morning, comes to us according to St. Luke, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
When the time came for their purification, according to the law of Moses, Mary and Joseph brought Jesus up to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male who first opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord. And to offer a sacrifice, according to what is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or 2 young pigeons. Now there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon, and this man was righteous and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came in the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him according to the custom of the law, he took him up in his arms and blessed God and said, "Lord, now you are letting your servant depart in peace according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, that you have prepared in the presence of all peoples, a light for revelation to the Gentiles, and for glory to your people Israel." This is the gospel of our Lord.
Grace to you, O Christ.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who doesn't love children? I'm glad to see no hands went up. I mean, children are adorable. Children are our future. Children are our legacy. Without children, we know that our country, our town, our congregation, our family cannot survive. We need children, and we love them. They can be exhausting at times. It takes energy and stamina and oftentimes a strong stomach to raise them. But children are a blessed gift from God. I mean, we watch YouTube videos of strangers' children, and we ooh and we ah as if they were our own. Whenever we want to tug the heartstrings of a crowd, all we have to do is say, "Won't someone think of the children?" I mean, everyone wants to do what is best for children. Nobody wants to hurt them, which is why supporters of abortion go to such great lengths to proclaim that the children they're killing aren't really children, despite what every scrap of science, history, and conscience clearly says, not to mention Scripture. When we hear about a murder, oftentimes we don't even bat an eye. But if it's the murder of a child, that catches the attention of the nation. Someone gets kidnapped, and sadly we often think, oh, they probably did something to deserve it. But if a child is abducted, without knowing any facts at all about the case, we automatically know that they did no wrong. Special laws and stiffer penalties are enforced to offer children special protection. Children are innocent and angelic. They are cute and adorable. They are our future. And so we will do anything. We will give up anything. We will make any sacrifice for the sake of our children. And while it is certainly good that we take such special care of our children and give them such earthly honor and protection, as Christians, we are called to do even more for them. And not just parents. Every single one of us knows children, has children in our lives in one way or another, even if they're not our own. And just as the world so often pays such special attention to children, so too does our Lord. And he calls us to give them protection, training, and gifts above and beyond what our government and our society can give. We are called to present our children to God, just like Mary and Hannah did in our readings today. In our readings, we see two faithful mothers presenting their children to the Lord, dedicating them to his holy service. Hannah brings Samuel to the temple and says, "He will serve the Lord. He will grow up in the temple, in the service of God, doing the work that God has set before him to do." Mary brings Jesus to the temple and says, "He will do what the Lord has set before him to do. He is dedicated to the Lord, set aside and holy for that purpose." We see these faithful mothers doing what all Christian parents are called to do, bringing their children to church with the whole family, teaching them the one true faith in truth and purity, setting godly examples for them with their own lives, showing them, even at a young age, that God's word is more important than anything and is worth putting some effort into, dedicating them to the Lord, and putting forth the considerable effort that it takes to raise godly children in a world of sin and darkness. We see them doing this, and we are encouraged, for we are called to do the same. These are the things that every one of us are called to do as Christians for the children in our lives. We are to dedicate them to the Lord, filling their lives with his holy word, teaching them his ways of righteousness by what we say and by what we do. Each of us, like Hannah and Mary, are called to present our children to God and teach them his holy ways. But sadly, far too often, we fail. Not just in that we slip up from time to time and say some words that they shouldn't hear or lose our temper and sin against them. Certainly we do those things and they're not good. But too often our failures, they're not just a minor glitch in our plans to present them to the Lord, but rather an active and even aggressive plan that presents our children to the sinful world instead. Too often, rather than presenting our children to God as we are called, we present them eagerly to the world. I mean, we push our kids to excel in sports and school, but it really doesn't matter if they're not doing their catechism work. We wouldn't dream of missing a soccer practice with them, but Sunday school? Church? We can take it or leave it. We'll maybe catch them next month, year, decade, whatever. We sacrifice our children on the altar of convenience and money through abortion. We think of children as a commodity to be custom built for us when we want to have them, when we've decided we are ready and at no other time. We think that it's the school's job to raise our children because we have to hold down two jobs to pay for all the vacations and phone plans and five-car garages and all the toys to fill them. And trust me, the schools will gladly raise your children for you and will firmly indoctrinate them in the ways of the world. We raise our kids trying to give them all the things that we didn't have, but we fail to give them the eternal gifts that we did have. We think we need to set a good example for our children by being socially conscious, but we ourselves treat church like a burden, and then we wonder why they drift away. We're very concerned over what might be in our children's meals, but we don't really care what's in their hearts or minds, allowing them to fill themselves with the filth of our culture and what they watch and listen to and read. We tell them what team to root for, but with church, we tell them it's totally up to them as long as they go somewhere or not. Doesn't matter. We're very quick to buy them the latest fad book that pushes a sinful social agenda on them, but rarely do we encourage them to read their Bible or pray. We might drop them off so they can go to Sunday school, but then we pick them up and go home. We give them the clear message that church is just something you have to do when you're a kid, and once you're grown up, well, then you don't have to bother with it anymore. And again, this is not just for parents. If you're thinking to yourself, well, I don't have children, or my children are grown, or lo, I myself am but a child, you are still an influence to the children, the culture, the world around you. And what you do has an impact on the lives of all children, young and old. There is more that every single one of us can do to encourage and strengthen the faith of our children and the children around us. When you make church and God's word a priority in your life, it becomes one in theirs as well. Children learn by watching. And so when they see their parents, their uncle, the other members of this congregation taking church seriously, getting up early and not treating it like a burden, they learn to do so as well. When you read the Bible at home with your family, it establishes good habits for them, and it teaches them that God's word is not just a Sunday morning thing, but an always thing. When you value God's word and the gifts that he gives that last forever over money, work, recreation, comfort, social status, or anything else, they will learn that the eternal gifts of God are worth far more than anything that this sinful world can possibly offer us. Live your faith. Be present and active in church. Teach Sunday school. Live a life that says, I am not ashamed to be a Christian. Be in the Word of God and take it seriously. And you, even without knowing it, can have a humongous impact on so many young lives. Now, sadly, even if you do all these things faithfully, sometimes the children around you will be drawn away by sin, will fall away from the Word. That's the way that sin works. And unfortunately, that sin is so deep within us that even when everything is done right, our hearts can fail us. But since that can happen even in the best of circumstances, why would we want to set our children up with the worst of circumstances by ignoring the Word, by teaching them that it doesn't matter? And honestly, why is it that we care if our children are presented to God or to the world? I mean, you look at the kids of the world who don't go to church. You look at successful celebrities who have nothing to do with the Word of God, and you may say to yourself, they're doing fine. What does it matter what happens with my kids? Why do we put forth all the time and energy and effort that it takes to do these faithful Christian things for our children and the children around us? Well, because by the grace of God, by his word of truth, we know what's at stake. The devil wants to tear down the faith of our children. The devil wants to shove the rainbow flag down their throat and make every knee bow The devil wants to normalize every sexual perversion, every wickedness and evil, turn every child against the Word of God, teach them to live for themselves alone, and take their souls to the fires of hell with him. Now, this is not some over-dramatization to try to get a rise out of you. This is the truth that God lays out in his Word. We are at war. And the eternal lives of our children, the children of this congregation, the children of this community, they are what we are fighting for. It is a hard fight because the devil fights dirty and he has so much influence in so many areas of the lives of our children, in their education, their entertainment, in the commercials that they see, in the friends that they see oftentimes more often than their parents, in the music that they listen to, in the teachers that they trust, in the temptations that they face on a regular basis. In every aspect of their life, the devil cries out to our children, seeks to lure them away from God's truth, tries to convince them that Christianity is a farce. It's this unnecessary burden, that their lives could be so much better and so much more fun if they just dumped those stuffy old beliefs. And so we have to fight. And fight constantly, countering the devil's attacks, setting a constant example, even when we think nobody's looking. We pray for our children and for all those around them, that they would be filled with the Holy Spirit. We pray that we ourselves would have the strength to live godly lives that impact not just our own children, but everyone around us. We pray that the children of our community, our nation, of the entire world, would hear the word of the Lord in truth and purity and keep it, turning away from the devil's lies and living apart from the filth and sin that our world encourages. We pray that we would be able to faithfully, steadfastly present our children to the Lord, and that they would recognize the joyous truth that he has revealed to us and to all generations, that in Jesus Christ, the promised Messiah, who was presented to the Lord by Mary, God presented himself to us. God dedicated himself to us, giving himself over to us completely. Not in that now we are his master and he's finally going to give in and just do whatever we want him to do. No, because that does nobody any good. But rather, God gave everything to us to save us from the eternal wrath and condemnation that we deserve because of our sin. Our epistle reading puts it so well. Since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, he himself likewise partook of the same things, that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver all those who through fear of death were subject to lifelong slavery. Jesus Christ, God himself, took on our human flesh for us. He willingly suffered and died for us. He gave everything to destroy the devil's hold on us and to deliver us from darkness to light, from death to life eternal with him. God gave everything. He suffered and died when there was no reason that he had to. Because of our sin, God could have walked away from us, left us to die, and he would have been no less God. But in mercy and grace, he came to us himself, came to us in the flesh to deliver us. On the cross, in agony and pain and suffering and shame, Jesus Christ presented himself unto death, sacrificing his divine, innocent life to pay the price of your sin. All your wrongdoing was laid upon him, and he laid himself down, the spotless Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. He gave everything to purchase and redeem you from sin, death, and the devil, to wash you clean by his holy blood, to proclaim you holy, innocent, and righteous in the eyes of the Lord, to cover you with his robe of righteousness, so that you could be with him forever. His death, his resurrection, they give you not just a hope, but the absolute guarantee of everlasting life in His eternal kingdom. When the final judgment comes, all people will stand before God. And those who believe in Jesus Christ, those who look to Him in faith, who look to His cross and His empty tomb, they will be presented before God as holy and righteous, without spot or blemish, covered by the holiness of Jesus Christ, washed by His blood, declared innocent to enter into His heavenly kingdom. No longer are we His enemies, as we deserve because of our sin, but by the grace of God, we are made His holy and beloved children, inheritors of His heavenly kingdom. And His word does this for us, changing us from sinners to saints. His word has such power that even when we fail as parents, even children who are raised without hearing the word of the Lord once in their early lives, the word of God changes lives, brings them to faith, makes them His beloved children. This is what God has presented to us freely by grace through faith. And this is why we joyfully, willingly present our children to the Lord. It's not always easy. It's not always fun. But it is absolutely necessary for their salvation. If we don't teach our children to love the Lord, the world will gladly teach them not to. And so by the power of the Holy Spirit, even if we ourselves are not parents, we seek to present all children to the Lord, young and old, teaching them the truth of God's holy word, showing them the joy of His ways, sharing the good news of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Because without that Christian faith, without knowing the gospel of Jesus Christ, their souls are lost in sin and condemnation. But it does not need to be so, because God has presented Himself to us, has given everything to save us, and has given to each of us the joyous message of His gospel that we gladly, eagerly share with all those around us. That you are His beloved child. You have been presented before Him in mercy, grace, and righteousness. And by the cross of Jesus Christ, by His empty tomb, you are forgiven of every one of your sins, and eternal life in heaven is yours. To God alone be all glory, now and forever. Amen.